Well, how about that? It's Monday morning, and welcome to the Panning Podcast from wherever you are in the world. Welcome here to my corner of Southwest Virginia. My name is Mike, your online Bible study buddy, and this is the Panning Podcast. It's Monday, and our Monday topic of study is aspects of our great salvation. And today I wanted to take a look at things that stop us from growing in our faith, that stop us from becoming mature Christians. So get your Bibles out, get your cups of coffee ready, and let's get ready to study the Bible. Yeah, I love that CD. You know, that's Charles Craig. I bet you nobody has heard of him. And I don't even know if he's doing music anymore, but we ran into him performing in an airport. And I want to say it was in Atlanta, but I'm not 100% sure. It's been that long ago. And he was performing. And we asked him to speak at our Black History Month service at the college where my wife works. And he graciously accepted. And I was so excited to see him performing again, and I couldn't be there. I'll never forget it. But I bought a couple of his CDs, and this is one of them. It's a little song called Lily, and he's a Christian, and he's just an extremely talented musician. All right, we're looking at, that's enough of that. We're looking at our great salvation. And as I said at the opening of the show, I wanted to look at what I think is a very, very important topic. It's a topic that does not get a whole lot of time devoted to it, and that's hindrances to spiritual growth. So let's have a look at 1 Peter chapter 2 as we get things started, and as we're opening up our Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 2. I sure hope you all had a good weekend. And certainly I hope you all had good church services on Sunday. We did. Gosh, we had a really, really good morning service and got a good crowd. And it's always nice when everybody happens to show up at the same time, you know. It doesn't always happen in our church. We have a very mobile church. People tend to travel around a lot. But yesterday, a lot of people showed up all at the same time, and it was just a great spirit, and of course the presence of the Lord was there, and we always appreciate it when God's Holy Spirit does His work in our hearts. Okay, 1 Peter chapter 2, let's read verses 1 to 3 and then 11 to 12. So 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 to 3, and I'm reading from the TNIV this morning. Therefore, Peter writes, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. And then just go down the page to verse 11. Dear friends, I urge you as foreigners and exiles to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day He visits us. We begin the Christian life in a spiritual birth experience. You don't begin the spiritual life merely by taking a course and passing a test and standing up in front of the church and confessing your faith. You don't begin the spiritual life merely by making good resolutions or by determining that you're going to live the good life or by joining a church. Spiritual salvation. Now, let's get this straight right from the get-go so there's no misunderstanding here. Spiritual salvation is something much, much more than being a member of the church. You don't study yourself into it. You don't ooze into it. You must experience a new birth. Spiritual salvation is something much more than the development of moral and ethical excellence in character. Until you experience a new birth from above, until you are born again, you are dwelling in spiritual death. You don't have the life of God within your innermost being. One scholar put it this way: until one is born of the Spirit, he is like an unfertilized egg with the potential for spiritual birth. And I think that's true. I think that's good. Every single person, with respect to all the new Calvinists out there, we're all a little bit excitable. Everybody has within them the potential to experience the new birth. God uses the divine word to beget us into his family. Now, some people refuse to receive God's word in faith, and consequently, they deprive themselves of this spiritual birth. Some people neglect to receive the word of the good news of God's love and faith, and consequently, through their neglect, they continue to deprive themselves of the spiritual birth. We are what we are, largely as a result of heredity and environment. We are also largely what we are on the basis of what we eat, how much exercise we get, and on the basis of the infectious diseases that we have either contracted or avoided. There are many hindrances and obstacles that you have to overcome if you want to grow from infancy to maturity on the physical plane. And the same is true on the spiritual plane. We'd be like exceedingly wise to recognize some of the foes that stand across the pathway that we would travel towards spiritual maturity. So let's have a look at some of the things that keep us from becoming mature believers. First of all, I would say this. I was thinking about this on the way in this morning. Excuse me. We, all of us, possess a fallen human nature that makes spiritual growth a real struggle. Have you ever known anybody who had a congenital defect that prevented them from growing to full maturity? I think most of us have been acquainted with at least one child who had a birth defect that prevented normal growth to normal maturity. In a very real sense, all of us have a spiritual defect that stands in the way of our becoming all that God wants us to become. And it's our sinful nature. It's something every single human being possesses, and I hate to break it to you, but even if you consider yourself to be a born-again believer, you still have that sinful nature. Yes, don't tell me it was crucified on the cross. I already know that. But it keeps wanting to be resuscitated. And it becomes resuscitated every time you yield to temptation. Look, we're all sinners, every last one of us. By this, we're describing a condition of our inner being rather than merely describing our conduct. We are sinners by nature, and we are sinners by our actions, all right? All of us have within our innermost being this fatal flaw. Because we are sinners, we all find it a whole lot easier to choose the path that leads downward rather than the path that leads upward. I mean, surely you must have noticed this. You must have noticed that it is far easier to yield to temptation than it is to fight it. you must have noticed that you spend more time thinking about sinful things than you do about godly things. Our natural state encourages us to drift along and to drift downward. Now, Paul describes this very, very accurately in Romans chapter 7. Let's have a quick look at Romans 7. We've read this before, I think, in this series. Romans 7, verse 15, and then verses 18 and 19. Paul says, I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. For I know that nothing good dwells within me, that is, in my flesh. I can will what is right, but I cannot do it. For I do not do that good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I do. Now, don't tell me you haven't experienced that. I experience it. I probably experience it a dozen times a day at least. We all experience this. This is the human condition. And as Christians, we will experience this pull of the flesh every day of our lives until our lives are over with and we're with the Lord in glory. I think the failure to recognize the presence of a sinful nature within can cause us to have an overly idealistic concept of ourselves. And that can contribute to a negligent, drifting kind of life that does not rise to its spiritual potential. And I'm not saying that we should use our sinful natures as an excuse for the sins that we get involved in. I couldn't help it. It was my sinful nature. I mean, don't say that. That's a stupid thing to say. And don't say the devil made me do it. Okay, that's also stupid. You sinned because you wanted to. You did that thing that you shouldn't have done because that's really what you wanted to do, and you just didn't want to fight temptation. Let's be honest. So one of the hindrances to spiritual growth then is not acknowledging this fatal flaw. Understand that you have it. Don't use it as an excuse, but it is an explanation. So just know that you possess a sinful nature. Secondly, did you know that poor listening habits prevent spiritual growth? Oh, yes. Matthew 13, let's have a look. Matthew 13, verses 1 to 9. We all know this group of verses, but I think it's worth reading it anyway. The parable of the sower, Matthew 13. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat, sat in it, while the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it didn't have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow, but when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 160 or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let them hear. Now, our Lord later explained the meaning of the parable as describing how various people hear and respond to the truth of God. That's verses 18 to 23. You want to read that? Let's have a look at that. Verses 18 to 23. It's a short group of verses. Listen to what the parable of the sower means, Jesus said. When people hear the message about the kingdom and do not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their hearts. This is the seed sown along the path. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to people who hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. The seed falling among the thorns refers to people who hear the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke out the word, making it unfruitful. But the seed falling on good soil refers to people who hear the word and understand it. They produce a crop yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Only the person who really hears and responds to the word of God will produce an abundant harvest. Are you a wayside hearer of the word of God? Wayside hearer? Do you refuse to let the word of God penetrate your heart, producing the desired effect? Are you a rocky ground hearer? Do you permit the word of God to penetrate only in a superficial kind of way? Or are you the kind of person who let the cares of the world choke out the word of God? This happened a lot during the scamdemic, when the governments and the media tried to convince you you were going to die if you caught a cold. Do you know how many people were scared to death that if they had the sniffles, they were going to die? I mean, that's totally irrational, isn't it? I mean, that's bizarre. The people that think if you stand 6 feet away from somebody else, you're going to live. Or if you wear a piece of cloth over your face, you're not going to get sick. Those are people that let the cares of the world choke out the word of God. I still have church members who are not coming to church because they're desperately afraid that they're going to get sick and die if they come to church. Still, after all this time, fortunately, it's like just a couple of people, but still, does your desire to stay healthy keep you from serving the Lord? Does your desire to get ahead in the world cause you to be unfruitful and unproductive for the kingdom of God? Does fear keep you from sharing your faith with other people or living your faith out in public? And you got to think about these things. Do you hear the word of God in a manner like the good seed falling into the soil? I hope that's you. Do you permit the word of God to germinate and grow and produce a harvest in your life? So how do you hear and how do you respond to God's truth? That's an important question that every one of you listening to this should answer, because it will determine to a large degree the extent of your spiritual growth. So poor listening habits can cause you to remain a spiritual midget. Well, my wife says I'm not allowed to say that word anymore. A spiritual vertically challenged person. How's that? Also, the evil world around us is trying to keep us from growing spiritually. John, the beloved apostle, warned his spiritual children about caring too much for the perishables of human existence. Take a gander at 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Let me have a look here. I went and closed my Bible. Okay. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. There we go. Do not, it's emphatic, do not love the world or anything in the world. If you love the world, the love for the Father is not in you. For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful people, the lust of their eyes, and their boasting about what they have and what they do comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever. Now, by the world, John is referring to society as it ignores God and is in a state of rebellion against him. John was pointing out the perishable nature of many of the things which the unbelieving world considers to be of extreme value. And he urges us to think about and to live for the things that will last forever. Just think about how much time you spend thinking about things that are going to rust or things that are eventually going to rot or things that will eventually lose their value. In the parable of the sower, Jesus warned about letting the desire for riches and the cares of the world choke out the word of God, which alone can bring growth. So the things of the world and the people of the world are conspiring together to keep you from maturing in your faith. Fourthly, we can be absolutely certain that the devil is a foe to our spiritual growth. That's obvious, isn't it? 1 Peter 5:8. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. But you don't have to be devoured by Satan. Look at verse 9. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your fellow believers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings. That's right. Don't ever think that anything happening to you is out of the ordinary, or this temptation or that temptation is something that nobody else in the world is facing. Okay, you're not that special. Your temptation is mine. We can resist the devil together, but only as we stand firm in the faith. You can't resist the devil for the sake of resisting the devil. You must resist the devil and at the same time stand firm in your faith. So if you ignore jokes, if you ignore or joke about the devil, his satanic majesty, you're deceiving yourself and you're depriving yourself of the resources of God that he's made available to you to live a victorious Christian life. There is a devil. There's a personal devil. He has demons serving him, and they're out to get you. You don't need to be afraid of him because you can stand firm in the faith. But understand this, he's strong. The devil can't read your mind or anything like that. He can't take your life. The devil won't force you to do anything you don't want to do. But you can resist him. The worst thing for a Christian to do, there are two things that a Christian must avoid. Number one, avoid giving the devil too much power over yourself, your mind, your thoughts. The devil can't make you do anything. All right? And don't assume the devil has no interest in you. He does. If you're a Christian, you might as well walk around with a target on your back and on your front, because he's out to get you. But you can resist him, and you can stand firm in the faith. Absolutely. The devil's out to get all of us who are serving the Lord. So you need to acknowledge that, understand it, and avail yourself of the spiritual resources that God has made available to you to fight him. Satan will see to it that all of us remain in spiritual infancy if it is within his power to accomplish this evil purpose. Don't give him the power. Don't yield an inch of your life to him. Don't yield a minute of your time throughout the day to him. He'll always take more. My wife says this, sin will always take you farther than you want it to go. That's right. Sin will always take you farther than you want it to go. Fifthly, our human tendency to procrastinate can hinder our spiritual growth. There's no escape from remaining in spiritual infancy and incompetency if we neglect the means of spiritual growth. The church, ladies and gentlemen, the church is responsible for helping you to grow. The church, it is our responsibility to see that you grow out of your spiritual infancy. to procrastinate responding to the opportunities for spiritual growth provided by your church can deprive you of growth. I know that sleeping in on a Sunday morning is such a temptation to all of you. I know that 1 hour of church service time on a Sunday morning, I know how hard it is for you to get up, get dressed, get the kids ready to go to church. I know it's hard. I know it. That's like the 1 hour of the week that you can sleep in. That's the only time in the entire week when you can cut your lawn. I know your car's dirty and you have to watch it. I know you want to go visit your in-laws because you ignore them the rest of the time. But you can't give God 1 hour or an hour and a half a week, for crying out loud, for your spiritual growth. Would you skip a meal? Would you skip like a day of eating to do something else? Of course, you wouldn't do that. I mean, yet how many of us think nothing of skipping church because we've got, quote, something better to do, unquote, or, quote, something more important came up, unquote. Look, each individual believer is also responsible for overcoming the obstacles and the hindrances to spiritual growth, and your church can help with that. Make use of your church. And sixthly and finally, the poor example of others can hinder our spiritual growth. Yeah, boy, this is the truth. We must beware lest we let the faults and mistakes of other Christians cause us to stumble and fall by the wayside on our pilgrimage towards spiritual maturity. Each of us needs to recognize and accept our own individual responsibility and opportunity. We can't be held responsible for the action of others. We are responsible to God for our own growth. Okay? So let's wrap this up. When it comes to the hindrances to spiritual growth, just remember this. In life, nobody can do your eating for you. Nobody can do your sleeping for you. Nobody can do your learning for you. Nobody can do your growing for you. Let each one of us determine that with the help of the Holy Spirit, we will feed upon the Word of God as often as possible. We will avoid all those factors that would hinder and prevent us from becoming the full-grown, mature, competent person that God the Father wants us to become. All right? And maybe you can think of other things that can hinder your spiritual growth. Drop me a line if you can think of other things. I listed six, but there's probably more. Leave your thoughts in the comment section if you're on my website, or if you're on, Telegram, leave something in the comment section. If you're on my webpage, leave comments there. Send me an email, mike@witsend.info. Let me know your thoughts. All right, folks, it's 29 minutes past the hour. It's time to be on with our Monday. What a great day it is. Folks, it's Monday. It is the best day of the week. Aren't you glad for Mondays? You can start all over again. Get right what you messed up last week. Look, and I hope you have a good day. We'll be back on Wednesday in our weekly in-depth studies of the book of Ecclesiastes. Don't forget, we're also studying Ecclesiastes Monday through Friday on 3 Minutes with Mike. And also in person, Wednesdays at 6 p.m. if you happen to be in the Wise County area. We'd love to have you come and visit us. You don't have to be a member of the church to visit or to attend Bible study. Come on by. We'd love to have you study the Word of God with us in person. It's always more fun in person. We've got a great group of people that that to get together, and we learn so much from our comments that everybody makes, and we have a good time. So if you're in the area, come on by. We'll be happy to have you. Look, you guys have a great rest of the day today. Thank you so much for listening to the Panic Podcast today. We'll see you on Wednesday. God bless you. Have a great, great week.